Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance. Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Praise the Lord. It was about 8 to 10 years ago. I was working. I worked myself up. I started at Sears Automotive Center as a go for this, go for that. Everything that nobody wanted to do, I did it. And I worked myself up the ranks. I mean, when I say I worked myself up the ranks, I went from a gopher to an assistant helping the salesperson write their ticket. I didn't make any more money. I was just helping them write their tickets, and they were making the commission. Then I got promoted because I was doing such a good job from helping them write their ticket to writing my own ticket. I went from writing my ticket to be the lead customer service advisor. From customer service advisor, I went to assistant manager. From assistant manager, I went to manager. Managing an A automotive store. One day I got called to the office, and we are talking, and she said to me, "You are divided between the church and Sears. You are divided between the church and Sears." And I know exactly what she was saying. She was saying is either you get devoted to Sears or you're not going to be here very long. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provenance to come to the dedication of the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Then the satraps, there, help me, praise the Lord, glory to his name, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials in the province gathered for the dedication of the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and the herald proclaimed loud, "You are commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipes, lyre, tigons, I hope I said that right, harps, bagpipes, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whosoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the people heard the sound of the harp, the pipe, the lyre, the tigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the people, nation, language fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. I'm going to tell you this. If you are a believer today, if you have been set apart by God to serve him, there's going to come a time that you're going to be tested and you're going to be tried, and you got to know who you are. It comes in every believer's life. You know, James tells us in 1 James 1, chapter 2, Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I could tell you one thing I don't like. I don't like a test. I could tell you one thing, another thing I don't like. I don't like trials. Here's another thing I don't like. I don't like trouble. I wish I could live my life and everything falls in line so I don't have to have any difficulties. But that's not the way. God did not, he said, lo, I will be with you. And I don't know if you like me. I don't like pain. But there's going to come a time when you're going to face some kind of testing that is going to show you who you are. And if you want to be lacking nothing, perfect and complete, what you have to do is to count it all joy. Do you know we need to be joyous people? Sometimes I wonder if we're really joyous people because I watch some face and I said, boy, their face so sour. I don't know what's wrong with them. And they say they love Jesus. Because it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It says, count it all joy. You know, I work my way all the way up. These Jewish young men, they were captured. So they were at the bottom of the totem pole. Not only that, they were captured, they were slaves. Once you get captured, you're a slave. You got to do what the person who has have you in captivity does. Tell you to do, I mean. So they are slaves. Then they are called out to come and serve the king. And most likely, they were castrated. They were new eunuchs. Problem. Count it all joy. I don't know if I could. I would see that as a disaster. But it come a time, now they have moved up in the ranks. They had good positions. Their buddy Daniel interpreted the dream, and he placed them in good positions. So they're in the enemy's camp, but they're in a good position. Guess what happens? When God puts you in a place, when you are serving God, when you decide that you're going to do as the song said this morning when you sing it, you're going to cling to that rugged cross. When you decide you're going to do that, let me tell you, you're going to let some people who don't like you going to start to accuse you. Now, I don't know where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. I don't know. It doesn't say that they were there. They could have been there. They could have been behind the king. They could have been at home. They could have been doing their I don't know what they were doing. But here, I want you to know that the accuser will come. I could, you know, here is Job. Think about Job for a minute. Job is having a good old time. Job is enjoying his children. Job is enjoying his land. Job is enjoying his fortune, his blessings from the Lord. And here comes the accuser in the presence of the Lord to accuse Job. And when he couldn't get Job, he said, look, if you would take your hand off him and let me touch him, he's going to change his mind about you. You know, I hired this young man, and I liked him, and he was doing well, smooth talker. And so when I needed an assistant manager, I made him my assistant manager. And he would say stuff like this. He said, look, I know you're a Christian. I know you go to church. So you go to church, and I'll work. Because I know that you have church things to do. And I said, man, this guy is... he's helping me out here. So what did I do? I schedule him and I go to church. His child, he was having a baby with his wife, and he said, the mother-in-law is going to be there, and I don't really like the mother-in-law too much, so all I need is the day that the child comes off, then schedule me. So what did I do? I scheduled him, give him the one day when the child came, and I scheduled him the next day. Well, months go by, and I get called in the office. And I'm wondering, what is going on? She said, you lend your assistant, this is what he's telling her. You put him to work every Sunday because you want to go to church. And when your wife returned from, I think Jill had gone for a month, and I took a couple of days off when Jill came back. He said, when your wife came back, you took 2 days off, but when he had a child, you only give him 1 day. You didn't give him no time off. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Let me tell you, when God places you somewhere, those who look at you and want what you have and they don't like what's going on in your life and they know that you stand for righteousness, they are going to come after you. They are going to be the accusers. Verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You know, let me tell you, this guy that I work with had a silver tongue. He really, all my DMs would come and love him. They would just come and love him. He knew what to say, how to say it. If it was true or not, he just knew how to do it. And he just buttered them up. So in their eyes now, I am not doing well. Here comes them, and they say, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horns and the pipes, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews. You know, I know we like the victory of these Jews, but I wonder if we would like to be right there when they're saying there are certain Jews. Now, here's another scripture. When you are being penalized for doing good, you are blessed. When you are being persecuted for doing good, you are blessed. But if your penalty that you're getting is because of your wrongdoing, you're getting your just reward. There are certain Jews who you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. You see how they personalize it? They pay no attention to you. They do not serve your God nor worship the golden image that you have set up. I hope that unbelievers can say about you, you do not serve their God. You know why they could say that? There was a difference in these young people. Okay, where am I? 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to him, is it true? Now, I had a decision to make. When I sat before my superior, I had a decision to make. When she said to me, you are divided. You need to have one focus. I had a decision to make. I had two options. Well, I had three. I had three options. I could quit, or I can submit and be very dedicated to CS and forget about going to church and be on 24-hour call all the time, because sometimes they would call me and I'm at church. I ain't answering and I ain't going. I'm off. They had a second opportunity to either succeed or fail. The first time, there was no pressure. No pressure. You know, when we have no pressure, we can really serve God well. They had no pressure. In fact, the trumpets, all the music sound, and everybody bow down, and they say, good riddance to them. We serve in God. No attention on them, nothing king. But soon, as they come, now the pressure is on. They are before the king. The king say, is it true? So Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up. Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound, here he's giving them a second chance. Let's go on a sidetrack. Sin. Hear how sin works. The first time it comes to your mind, you say, nah, I ain't gonna do that. You walk by the wife at home and you walk by the computer and you say, nah, I'm not gonna do that. And you go outside and you look around and then you walk back and somebody says, you know, let me go back inside. You go back inside and there's the computer. You say, second time, the enemy saying, go for it. You know, he doesn't stop one time. It'd be nice if when you resist the enemy once, he stops. Oh, that'll be one. We all will be living such a victorious life if the enemy only come once. But here, the enemy is back on their tail a second time. And this time, there's pressure. Are they going to cling to that old rugged cross? And here the king says, fall down and worship the image that I have made. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who will deliver you out of my hands? Who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? I don't know where you guys work. I don't know what your job is. I don't know what you do at your job. But I wonder if they even know what God you serve at your job. I wonder. When I work at CS, they knew who I serve. In fact, you know, they would ask, when they had customer, you know, they have those secret shoppers. They come in and they shop. I would make 100 every time. I used to make them look good. Until I don't want to do something that violates my belief. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and will deliver us out of your hands. Now, first thing they did was acknowledge that God can do it. I believe everything I face, God could handle it. I never look at something and says, oh my God, what's going to happen now? I always, you know, I look at problems in the house. I say, God will make way. I feel a pain in my body. I say, God can heal that. They acknowledge that God can do it. Anything you face, God can do it. Any disease in your body, God can heal it. Any problem at your work, God can solve it. Our God can do anything. But this is what they said. But if not, that's one part most of us do not want. But if not. I remember there was an evangelist, a healing evangelist, and he would go about healing. I mean, he laid hands on you, heal. And someone came to him for healing, and he asked them, I know you want healing pretty bad. If God doesn't heal you, what you will do? You see, God can help you in any situation, but if he doesn't, how do you see God? How do you live if he doesn't? But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship your golden image that you have set up. Folks, Satan is there like a roaring lion, and he wants to destroy us. And he's going to use any method he can. But we have to have the mentality, God can deliver me, but if not, I am not going to stray from the path of God. Have you ever made anybody mad because of your belief? Have you ever made anybody mad? I've been called in the office at my job before because I talked to somebody that was a homosexual, and I talked to them, and I got called in the office. You know when? When you have to do something that violates what is in the world, or where you work, because of what you believe, it's not easy. It's not easy. But you have to have the but if not mentality. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression on his face changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it's usually heated. Now, I would be afraid. I would love God, but there would be something. I don't like fire. I don't like to be burnt. I remember I used to play with matches when I was little. I would go in the, we didn't have indoor plumbing like you guys do. We had it outdoor, and I would go in there, and I'd take the matches and straw, you know, plastic straw, and I would light the plastic straw and watch it and drop it. And one day I went like this, and it stuck under my arm. I tell you something. I didn't like that one bit. In fact, I had the effect of it for days. I could just imagine the heat of that fire. And I wonder how much of us would have changed our minds because of the heat. You know, some of us, allegorizing, some of us, when the heat comes on, we change our mind. When the pressure hit, we change our mind. When we can't stand it anymore, we click that button. When we can't stand it anymore, we tell that wife what we want to tell her. We tell that husband what we want to tell that husband. We tell that employee what we want to tell that employee. We tell that manager exactly what we want to tell him, because the heat is on, and you could just feel it building in you, and you've got to get it out. But they didn't care about the heat. Their trust was in God. When you cannot stand the heat, your trust is somewhere else. It's not in God. But I'll tell you this. If you would stand for God, in whatever situation you're in, you will bring God glory. And you know what? This is a great story. We like this story because I would love to get in the fire and Jesus joins me there. And I walk out and my hair don't smell like smoke. Well, I don't have any. My clothes don't smell like smoke. I would love it. You ever in a situation you feel like Jesus right there? I had one time that happened to me. I was very, not depressed, but lonely. And I was at college, and everybody gets these care packages. They get care. You run to your mailbox, somebody from home send you a care package. The church send you a care package. I didn't get any of those things. Christmas coming, I ain't getting no Christmas presents. It had coming from Trinidad. And I remember I went in the prayer room, and I was praying. And for the first time in my life, I felt the God just right there with me, sitting right there with me, with his hands around me. It was a totally different experience that I ever had. I've never had it before, and I never had it since. Jesus there with me in my situation. It's a wonderful. We all want that. But guess what? He's with you no matter how it turns out. You see, Stephen said, look, I see the Father. Stephen says, I want to glorify God. And get what happened to Stephen? He got stoned to death. But guess what? Jesus was in the fire right there with him. He still bring glory to God. Then, verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the fire?" They answered the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God." You know, allegorica is in again. I would just like to be in the fire and Jesus with me. Now, I wasn't looking forward to the fire now. I wasn't looking forward to the fire at all. In fact, I didn't want the fire. I would have rather take me to the guillotine. But because I was trusting in God, when I get in the fire, I would be enjoying walking in the fire. I could imagine how they could testify. I could imagine they're walking down the street and they point and they say, those guys were in the fire with God. Listen. When you stand for God and you're going through some fire, you're going through some struggle, you're going through something that seems like it's going to defeat you, and you come out victorious, you can testify that God was with you in the fire. And when people see you, they're going to say, see that guy over there? He was going through the fire. But God was with him. You know what I tell when I go to VN and I give them my testimony? Because they're not supposed to tell anybody. One of the things they make a commitment to do is not to reveal what is said in that room, because people bring out some personal stuff. But I tell them all the time, if you see me on the street, and you can say, see that guy over there? He was in the fire. God brought him out of the fire, because my testimony may be able to help them to stand their fire. How do we overcome the enemy? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I bet you their lives were changed for a long time. Everybody watching, everybody seeing that they are in the fire with God. So when they came out, if it was here in America, we're all going to see them when they preach. We all want them at our church to testify. Guess what? We can do the same right here, right now, today, no matter what you're going through, if you're willing to let God walk with you in the fire. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. God did something, because if it was so hot, it already just killed the ones that bung them up and put them in. But God did something, because he was able to come to the door and he didn't get much injury. He declared to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Let me tell you, when you stand for God, people is going to know it. He just told them a while ago, what God is going to deliver you from my hands. He just tell them, you are doomed. Now he is telling them, hey, you guys, servants of the Most High God. God is being glorified by the ungodly. But that could only happen if you allow yourself to walk in the fire with Jesus. That's the only way it could happen. The only way unbelievers could see your life and glorify God is because when you're going through something, you know how to go through it with Jesus. That's the only way. There was a lady I knew in Florida. She had to wear a respirator week. She goes to the hospital every now and then. But I'm telling you, I never heard that woman complain once. And in fact, I went to visit her in the hospital and I left being blessed. She was glorifying God even though she was sick. And most people would say dying. She had no complaints. She was walking through her fire with Jesus. Come out. Come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. Now, I tell me, if I was in that fire and the king called me to come out, I'd say, you come in here. I don't know about you. That's the flesh part of me. And the satraps, that's how you say it? The prefects, the governors, and the king counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. They're here. Of their beard was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, now here's what you want people to say about you. Here's what I would like if people was to say anything about me. Blessed be the God of Garth Williams. Blessed be the God of Ed Calveo. Blessed be the God of Nora Powell. Blessed be the God of Stephen Powell. Blessed be the God of Jill Williams. Blessed be the God of Carol. This is what they should say. For who has sent his angels to deliver his servant? Who trusted in him? That's what they did. Number one, they trusted in God. Here's where your trust has to be, people. Your trust has to be in God. They set aside the king's command and yield up their bodies rather than to serve and worship any god except their own. You know, there's people in today's world that is doing that same thing.
maybe not in our country, but is doing that same thing, would rather die than serve another God. Yield up their bodies rather than to serve and worship any God except their God. Therefore, I make this decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruin. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. I could just imagine those Chaldeans. I'd be kind of shaking in my boots if I were them right now. Because they are the ones who brought the accusation. And this is what God does. Now, I don't say it happens in every situation, but it sure does happen in you. It says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Where's your trust this morning? What are you trusting in this morning? Do you have the trust in God? Are you at the place where you rather die than serve another God? Do you have the mindset that my God can deliver me, but if not, it's okay. It's okay. Let's pray.